Well, obviously, it's been a very interesting week over this past week. I'll start with the fundamentals. Obviously, there's other forces other than fundamentals which are driving markets at the moment. I'll mention that in a minute. But just taking the economic data that came out of the United States last week, most of it was reasonably good. It's pointing towards a recovery that can gain pace as we go through 2021. And not least of that was the preliminary Q4 GDP report that came out midweek. I was really worried that this one might have a negative sign on the front of it. It didn't in the end. It came in around market expectations at plus 4% annualized, which is actually a reasonable result after the plus 33.4% you got in Q3. I was worried that, in particular, that household spending might take a bit of a dent. It didn't. Consumption spending in the United States was actually up, not a lot. It was up 40% year on year back in Q3, but it was up another 2.5% on top of that in Q4. So there was lots of compensation in things outside of basic retail trade, which was weaker through the course of the quarter. And, of course, housing gave a good lift to GDP. Most other areas of spending were weaker. But nevertheless, given that we will get we have got some stimulus coming through for the US, and it could be greater depending on how it works its way through the legislature over there over the next week or two. We've got that coming for the United States. Obviously, we've got some distractions too. In a week or so's time, we get the impeachment trial. But what we have got in the United States are some very, very competent people that President Biden's putting around him. Not least is Janet Yellen in the Treasury portfolio. But that's also going to be a complication when you're looking at how she may deal with the current turbulence which is running through the equity market in the fight between organized small investors and the hedge funds. So there's a little bit of uncertainty around that. But the data, some of the other readings we got last week, manufacturing still picking up nicely. We had the January Chicago Purchasing Managers Index came out, and it was expected to go sideways-ish. 58 from 58.7, it went up into really strong territory, 63.8. 60s are quite rare on that survey. That one's certainly a very, very strong leading indicator that things are picking up looking ahead. We had new home sales for the month of December. They rose after a sharp fall in November and all the uncertainty heading into the election. By the late part of their campaign, they were starting to rise again, up 1.6% month on month. We had a reasonable durable goods orders report. Core durable goods orders were up 0.7% after being up by 0.8%. We also had the Fed, and they're trying to keep things on as even a course as possible. And so no change to policy settings, but a commitment to do whatever it takes to keep the recovery going. And we also we had things like January consumer confidence lifted a bit to 89.3 from 88.6. And something else which we're very familiar with here in Australia, but we haven't looked at quite so much in the United States. Obviously, house prices are rising here in Australia again. They've been rising all the way through the pandemic and its twists and turns and everything that happened in politics over there. And the acceleration is now quite pronounced. So this is a pretty big underpinning for household spending and household wealth. And the Case-Shiller House Price Index, don't often mention it, but it has been rising at over 1% a month over the last few months. And the most recent reading for November was no exception. It was better than expected, up 1.4% month on month. But the annual change on house prices in the United States now has accelerated to 9.1% year on year from 8% year on year going back the month before. If you went back to early 2020, house prices in the US were barely moving at 1 to 2% year on year. There's been a significant acceleration all the way through 2020 into this. And so, you know, that's another one of those positive factors which is building there for the US. I'll just briefly go through some of the things we're looking at on the economics this week before mentioning you know, the other factor that obviously came to the fore last week in the United States. But this week in the United States, the things that you're looking out for, really, we've got the ISM Purchasing Managers reports, both for the manufacturing sector and the non-manufacturing sector. Both of those should be not too bad, and so the non-manufacturing will be in the mid-50s, and the January around 56.8. The market thinks for January, down a little bit from 57.7, but that's not a bad result. And these are manufacturing PMI. They're still expecting that to be around 60, which is a strong result. That comes out later today, and that was after being at 60.5 going back to the month of December. So those leading indicators still looking really, really good. We also have non-farm payrolls coming out right at the end of the week on Friday, and after a fall going back to the month of December, where payrolls actually came down by 140,000, they're expected to lift by about 50,000 for the month of January, and the unemployment rate stabilising there around 6.7%. So, you know, the base for everything that President Biden's trying to do, you know, he's been quite a number of executive orders, largely reversing some of the bits and pieces that Trump put in place. But for the most part, we're looking at a reasonably constructive US economic outlook. Now, the problem is that in the share market, we have interesting forces at work. You know, the use of social media by small investors and the ability to trade largely at no cost, and the discipline of getting a lot of people to act in concert and take on the power of the hedge funds, particularly those that like to short stocks. Yeah, we've seen the consequences of that over the course of the past week. Now, it's, at the very least, this is going to add a lot of volatility into share market trading in the United States. And it is basically a US phenomenon in some ways, because the type of short trading that allows hedge funds to flourish, particularly in the United States, is largely illegal in most other places. So, yeah, this is basically a US phenomenon, but one that has obviously rebound effects into markets all the way around the world. And what it's doing is, it's leading to greater likelihood of share market bubbles in some particular stocks in the United States, where small investors take on the hedge funds, and the risk that we're going to get these regularly from time to time bursting at some point. That's causing some pretty large losses. So, for example, some of the small investors who've made huge gains, supposedly in the video game stock that they've driven up to a record high price, of about $345 a share in the United States. Quite clearly, that is way, way above any fundamental valuation of that stock. Now, all of those people have to stay disciplined who've gone into that stock, because the minute that somebody tries to get out, first person out gets biggest profit, then those who try to get out afterwards get stuck trying to catch a falling knife. So there's a lot of risk that's starting to develop in because of this volatility. And not least because when you really knock for six the hedge funds, the way in which they have to cover themselves too, and their financial links can cause some risk as well. This won't be lost on new Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. So one of the great risks that comes out of this is a move towards re-regulation and tougher regulation. And you're not quite sure at what point something might be announced. So that adds an element of uncertainty too. Yeah, it's been pretty freewheeling in terms of stock market regulation, at least in terms of way in which people can trade in the United States. Yeah, that could change, and it could change quickly, and that itself has some risk. The other factor in this, the sorts of stocks that these cohorts of small investors are going to, there is a slight positive side to it, and that is it probably lends more to stocks which are undervalued, and so deep valuation or deep, you know, some of these stocks which look as if they've got some value in them that may be attractive to this new cohort as well. So it's not all negative, but it's certainly going to add some volatility at a time when that's not necessarily welcome. If it wasn't for that, you'd be looking at reasonable economic fundamentals helping to slowly drift up fairly richly valued risk asset markets. You get your setbacks from time to time, but they're not pronounced, and you get that setting the base for some more buying. That is very much in question now with the changes that we saw last week. Just in terms of other data, out of China, there wasn't anything of note last week. They're getting into their holiday season there too, where just about everybody tries to go back to their hometowns. That's a headache for the Chinese authorities actually over the next week, because the pockets of COVID-19 could spread there. So, there's some developments that may occur there. This week we're looking at January readings of manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMI at the beginning of the week. And middle of the week, we're looking at the cakes inversions of those. They look okay. They're all in the 50s, low to mid-50s. The manufacturing PMIs, the official one, the previous reading was 51.9. The cakes inversion of that was 53.0. And they're probably going to be similar readings for the month of January. And the non-manufacturing is actually doing better than most other places overseas. Well and truly in the mid-50s, these are actually very high readings for these particular Chinese indicators. 55.7 was the previous reading for the non-manufacturing PMI going back to December, and the cakes inversion was 56.3. And if they hold those levels, that is actually quite promising in terms of Chinese economic activity. Out of Australia last week, obviously the focus, big focus there was the CPI. The CPI was a little on the high side of expectations. It was plus 0.9% quarter on quarter. That lifted the annual rate of change to 0.9% from 0.7%. Much of these are the administered prices coming into the calculation, plus a little bit of upward pressure just starting to show in things like house prices and transportation in petrol and car prices and those bits and pieces. The underlying inflation rate still reasonably contained. The trim mean was 0.4%, where the market expected it. The weighted median was 0.5%. The annual changes on those were 1.2%, 1.4% respectively. The way the inflation rate is expected to run is that it will lift a bit over the course of the next couple of quarters, but then should fade a little bit before it stabilizes and starts to go back up again as we go a bit further down the track. The missing piece in the inflation story is still cost pressure coming through from wages. Wages growth here is still very limited. But if that starts to change at some point over the course of the next period, then we might get a little bit more pressure on inflation. Something also that the Reserve Bank might be starting to worry about a bit is that there's no doubt that a fire has been lit underneath house prices in Australia. At the moment, the rush, particularly by first-time home buyers, to get as big a loan as they can, get into the best property they can. There's a very, very strong incentive for that to do it, both from ultra-low interest rates, somewhat easier lending conditions by the banks, and, of course, by the incentives which are in there from the federal government. So, you know, we have got a fair bit of upward pressure running on house prices. We get another indication of house prices later today. I don't think that the Reserve Bank will try and do anything about this just yet, but at some point in the future it may have to think about it. And so just keeping that under review for the time being of what options are open to them to try and contain what is becoming, you know, sort of a fairly excessive move upwards in certain house prices currently. Just over the course of this week, yeah, other things we've got coming, ANZ job ads today, they have been rising very strongly over the last few months, expected to rise again for the most recent month. We've got December home loans coming out at 11:30 today. They were up 5.5% by value, you know, they're up over 30% year on year. They are booming, and so it will be a strong reading again for that number. I haven't got a market consensus on that one. The RBA meets tomorrow. At this stage, doing nothing, but this is an interesting week because we have the RBA governor speaking several times this week as well, not just after the RBA meeting itself tomorrow, but he will also be addressing the press club later in the week. He'll be addressing the parliamentary committee on Friday and also releasing the monetary policy statement on Friday. And in the monetary policy statement, there's a fair chance they're going to have to revise upwards yet again. Every single monetary policy statement, they've been revising upwards their forecasts of economic growth. And it'd be interesting to see what tweaks he may be thinking about for inflation too, not so much the near-term readings, but the ones a bit further out. So just watching that with some care, just to see if there's any change in any of the commentary. You know, going before, when they had their last meeting, going all the way back to December before really the Christmas, you know, holiday break when they go on leave almost, you know, the sort of rhetoric we were getting from Reserve Bank was, you know, low interest rates are here to stay, you know, at least for the next 3 years. Just going to be interested to see whether he still says that, you know, given what's happening in housing. So any change in that sort of wording will be significant, even though you won't get any policy change on most of the settings. Some of the other data this week, we've got home building approvals coming out on Wednesday after the RBA. These are likely to show another big increase. You know, home builders are responding to what the first-time home buyers want. And so we had a 2.6% month-on-month lift going back to November. It's likely that we'll have about another 2.5% lift for the most recent month. On Thursday, we get international trade data, and the market consensus is that the trade surplus will belt out to a record $9 billion. We've already had some preliminary trade data which were truly stunning and showed a lot of strength running through exports in particular. So that'll be up from $5 billion. Of course, for the quarter, net exports are going to be making a pretty positive contribution to economic growth. They made a negative contribution going back to Q3. So this is one of those change factors which gives us a very strong GDP report when we finally see it coming out in early March here. And another one of those figures is December retail sales. We've already had the preliminary figure. It was down 4.2% after being up 7.1% the month before. But we also get the quarterly real retail sales figure. Back in Q3, you know, we had the initial flourish of people just buying the socks off everything. And we had a 6.5% quarter-on-quarter real increase in retail trade. On top of that, we've probably got another 1.9% to 2% increase for Q4. So very, very strong result. And that'll be making a positive contribution to GDP too when that number comes out in early March. Out of Europe last week, yeah, not a lot. You know, we've still, you know, obviously got the horrors of numbers. Actually, before I leave Australia, obviously, yeah, we've got that flicker of COVID again just over there in WA. Yeah, the response should get on top of that, you know, closing the Perth and all the way down to the wineries down for 5 days should put a lid on things and give them a chance to get on top of it, even though, you know, the security guards who's got COVID has got the more infectious UK variety. So, yeah, a temporary blip, but you know, they should get on top of that. And just moving back to Europe, last week, January in business consumer survey came out. It was stronger than expected. It was actually 91.5 from 92.4. This week in Europe, we get purchasing managers' reports. We get the unemployment rate. We also get the CPI. CPI in Europe's fine. It was actually negative, actually, going back to December, minus 0.3%. Because of some blips in certain prices, it'll lift just above the zero mark for the most recent reading, but not dramatically so. We also get December retail sales, and they're hoping to see at least a bit of a lift in that after a desperate November where, you know, all the various containment measures are put in place. There was a minus 6.1% month-on-month change in that particular month, so they're looking for a 1.6% increase there. The unemployment rate, too, holding around the 8.3% mark, they think, for those numbers. So, yeah, when we're looking at economic developments, they are all reasonably constructive, but we have a new disruptive force in town, and that is the activities of organised small investors on social media, taking on what they feel are the big guys on Wall Street. It's almost like the disaffected Trump supporters have found their way into the equity market, and so that is a pretty disruptive influence. And how that's dealt with in the United States may be a fairly significant influencer of how markets track from him. But the risks around it, and the risk that we get some setback, stage left setback that we haven't been able to factor into the outlook, it certainly rose last week.